People who don't know, where is the Kaufman Art Studio and how did it all come to be? Because people, I know you've probably been asked this question a million times, but for people that don't know, can you answer that? Would that be okay?
Sure.
Okay.
First of all, we're located at 132 Queen Street South, right in the heart of downtown Kitchener.
Mm-hmm.
We're in the same building as Schlichter's Automotive.
Mm-hmm.
So if you see the Schlichter's sign, that's the same building that we're in. We're just in the other side of the building. And how it came to be, it was about a year ago, a little over a year ago.
Yeah.
The space where the studio is now was empty. It used to be the parts department that kind of fed the garage next door.
Right.
And they moved out, and my grandfather owns the building. And one evening, I think it was August, about 2 years ago, we were having dinner together, and I said, I have an idea. Can I see the other side of the building?
Right.
So it was getting dark, and he took me through, so I had the street lights kind of shining through. And it was dirty, dusty, full of old parts still. And I looked around. We have some beautiful windows that show the cityscape towards King.
Yeah.
And I burst into tears. And I thought, this is exactly what we need in this community, which is a place close to the bus station where people can create great art, from visual art to theater. And that's what it's become.
Yeah, it is very cool. They're a very intimate little space, and lots of people have been there since you've opened, like all kinds of groups, and we'll get to that later on. But right now, you're having what's called the Festival of the Arts, and this starts next weekend. So, Billy, can you tell me a little bit about this, what this is?
Of course. The Festival of the Arts is something that Rachel's been putting together. It started as a fundraiser and an idea just to get some of the youth in the area performing on their own terms, because all of these youth, they've had these opportunities in shows, they've had these opportunities working with each other to shine and to show what they can do, but no one's ever really gotten the opportunity to say, this is what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
So Rachel started this fundraiser to bring this opportunity to the youth that are involved and the youth that are going to university and some of the ones who are struggling to go to university. It's a fundraiser for them and an opportunity for everyone to say, this is what I do, this is what defines me as a person, as an artist. And it's great because some of these young actors who I've seen and who I've grown up with for the past 4 years, I've known them really well, and I'm seeing some of them who are coming out and they're like, I wanna perform a song.
Mm-hmm.
And it pushes me back, because I'm like, well, I didn't know you performed songs. Because we've all been, not necessarily trapped, but we've all been in this idea that theater is the one thing that brings us together. But it's not theater, it's art.
That's right.
And I think that's one of the main steps that this is taking. It's differentiating us as theater artists and putting us into the terms of actual artists.
Then you become a triple threat. So you can dance, you can sing, you can act. You can
exactly.
All of it. You can be a stage manager, you can do set design, you can do it all. So,
that's right.
And that's really good to be in the theater and be well-rounded, because a lot of theater companies, especially if they're just starting out, the actor does, you do everything.
You do.
It's all, like, it's all-encompassing. You have a t-shirt on that says UBC Arts. Is that where you're going?
That's where I went this past year.
Okay.
Left Kitchener to go to UBC to study in Vancouver.
Right.
And had a wonderful time. Learned a lot through great professors out there. Sandra Ferens, to name a name, if anyone's going to UBC anytime soon. But I'm actually heading to Windsor next year.
Okay. That's a good program, too.
I just thought a change of pace and a change of perspective would be nice, because I've seen Kitchener with its 300,000 people, and I've seen Vancouver with its millions of people, mm-hmm. and now I'm just going to go to a new place.
Okay, so what is your involvement in the festival? And Rachel, how does the weekend break down? Like, it starts Thursday, right?
Right.
Okay.
The festival begins Thursday evening.
Okay.
With the performances starting at 7 and running all the way to 10 p.m. The same on the Friday evening, 7 to 10 p.m. And then the Saturday, we start at 9 a.m. with from 9 until 12 noon in improv time. So that will be a great opportunity for people to come into the studio and see what improv is all about and actually have a chance at getting up there with our resident improv team and just having a lot of fun. From there, we will be having a matinee from 2 till 4. And then from 7 till 10 on the Saturday evening is, we're kind of calling it the gala, which is the evening where the three finalists will be awarded the money that we raise throughout the entirety of that weekend.
So how many people are involved in this?
Oh, so many. So many have come to me wanting to do everything from just baking, because we're going to have a bake table. And we've got a tech crew. We have some great sound equipment that's been donated by our resident guitar teacher.
Right.
Everyone's just banded together because they realize that this is just a group of like-minded individuals trying to make some great money for some great kids. So I kept saying, I think we started all of the organization back in February, so it's been going on for a while. And I'm really pleased. I would like to do this annually. Mm-hmm. So that people have an opportunity, if they weren't a finalist this year, hey, by all means, come out next year and try again. So,
what kind of age groups are you seeing? What age range are you seeing?
In terms of people who applied,
mm-hmm.
17, 16, 17, all the way up to about 27.
Wow.
Yeah, because just to be a student in university doesn't mean you're in your teens or your 20s anymore. So it's for anybody who is studying, anyone who needs that extra money and support as well, which I think a lot of people feel isolated in their university or college years, that they're broke and is it worth it? And we're saying yes. We're in the arts, we work in the arts, and we support you, which is what the studio is all about. Generally speaking, anyway.
That is very cool. How have you seen it as space evolve since February yourself? And maybe Billy, you've been involved in this too.
Okay, well, I first came on with the studio last year, shortly after Rachel started it. I was busy when she was dealing with all of the initial starting, so I came on a little late. I came on for a show called Emma.
Yeah,
I was involved in that. And then I got to meet Rachel. Rachel, who I knew who I'd met, but who I didn't really know. And I got to meet her, and I got to see her, and I got to see what she wanted to do for all these kids. I got to see what she wanted to do with this space. And for one of the first times, I was like, wow, this is going to be really good. This thing is going to help. 'Cause there were all these great shows, and I was like, this show is going to be good for people, but this place is going to be good for people. And then I left for a year.
Mm.
And I didn't get to watch it grow anymore. But I was in contact with Rachel. I called her up a few times from BC, and I caught wind of the fundraiser, and I was just like, oh, what's the fundraiser going to be? And she explained it, and she was like, well, I just want to have an opportunity for people to perform. I want to have an opportunity for people to get some help to go to university, scholarships. I want things like that. And I came back, and this studio has all of a sudden got everyone in it. Everyone is there.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the communities that youth can get involved with in the community are in some way connected to the studio. And not all of them, but maybe that's a goal for the future. Mm-hmm. But it's great because no matter what you're doing, if you're in sound, if you're in music, if you're a painter, you can see people with similar interests at the studio. There are people there who care about the same things you do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really nice to have this place where I feel like that is accomplished. And it's, sure, it's an ongoing goal, but it's something that at this point has been accomplished. And I think that's incredibly well done.
That's true. I think maybe it was last year. I also, and again, this is from working at the video store, these young people coming in from Synchro Youth Theater.
Right.
And they were saying, oh, we're going to do, what were they? Oh, Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf? I went, oh, really? Really? Seriously? Yes. Good luck with that. You know, and I was absolutely flabbergasted. Not just with that, but with also Streetcar Named Desire. Yeah. I'm like, but most of those kids were like, what, early 20s, something
not
like
even.
That.
Not even.
16 to, yeah. I was absolutely amazed. They were so sophisticated, so smart, and so talented. And I thought, this is incredible. So what other, and I know they've all worked there and rehearsed there, and Synchro was there in June working on a show, I think?
Actually, I directed something for Synchro beginning of June.
Right.
We did Yasmina Riza's
art. That's right.
Which was so much fun. Oh, it was just a great experience. But they're working on something else for later this summer. So they'll be using the studio once again, and it's really a joy to see them. I think one thing that I've observed in my time running the studio is that youth sometimes aren't given the opportunities to have a voice or to say, here's a script. Yeah, I know you're not 40, but try it. See?
Yep.
And it's okay to make a mistake. It's okay to say, you know what, next time we'll do this, this, and this. And the studio is a great place. They can come to me and ask my opinion. They don't have to take my opinion, but it's kind of a sounding board. And I think that is really important in a community. My next big thing for the studio is I'd like to see a little bit more cross-generational support, which means different groups of people coming together, different age groups, and working together, kind of like community theater, only just in kind of a different spin on it. It's kind of where we see things going there, too.
Which makes perfect sense, actually. What was I going to say? You've had all kinds of... What groups have been in the studio in the last little while?
Okay. KWU Theater has been there from the outset. Synchro Youth Theater, huge, huge supporter. Lost and Found. Jam Drama, their youth ensemble, as well as...
Yeah.
They've come in for a couple rehearsals, the older ensemble as well. Jen Cornish is a great, great friend, very talented.
And she just won the Arts Award this year, too. Yay,
yeah,
Jen!
And well-deserved.
Yeah,
very hard
kidding.
Worker.
Yes.
And I'm drawing a blank. There's so many people who have come in who have said, Rachel, how can I be involved? The KW Princess Project.
That's right.
Wow,
that was awesome, eh?
Yeah, so there hasn't been a lot of stuff that's come through where I've said, oh no, like everyone is welcome to come in and exchange ideas. I like the term think tank, because just when you think you've got something figured out, somebody comes in and says, hey, let's try this. And I think, wow, why didn't I think of that first? So that's what the studio is all about.
Can you see, I have a couple more questions, but Billy, can you give me any idea of what you're planning this weekend? Are you part of these festivities? Do you have like a routine put together? Are you part of a piece?
My role is going to be more limited than I would like.
Okay.
I'm involved in The Homecoming with Standard Deviation Theater, so rehearsals for that.
The Homecoming? You mean Harold Pinter's?
Harold Pinter's The
Homecoming.
Yeah.
Wow. And what role do you play? She asked knowingly.
Okay, I'm playing Sam, actually. It's a really interesting project so far. We're working with some of who I consider to be the most talented actors I've seen on stage.
Who are you working with? Let's give them a...
Brent Meidinger, Dave Morgan, Nicholas Cumming, Andrea Flusku. I'm sorry, Andrea. And Abram Chen. And it's just really amazing to work with these actors, because I've seen most of them on stage, and I've admired most of them from afar. I've been like, that guy did great.
Mm-hmm.
And now I came into auditions, and I was like, you're Dave Morgan. Okay. I saw you on UW stage, and that's been really amazing for me, because Nicholas Cumming is another person who I've admired for 4 years.
I did some work with him a while back, actually, when we used to run a theater company, but Nicholas did some great work with us. It was really awesome.
Very talented
Tennessee
actor.
Williams stuff, I might add. Very cool. So that is great.
So my role is limited to Saturday evening when I'm performing a one-man show as a staged reading with Lena Michaela reading stage directions. It's something I worked on in BC with Matthew Willis, a playwright friend of mine. And we devised it. We took reading break to just work 6 hours a day and build a script from nothing. And now we have a 27-minute piece.
Wow. Okay, I'm a huge fan of what I like to call monodrama. And I've interviewed many an actor about this. So what do you like about monodrama, and what do you hate about monodrama?
Monodrama being?
Monodrama is a one-man, one-person show. It was a term coined by an actor named Maxime Mazumdar from Nova Scotia Neptune Theatre. I think he founded Neptune Theatre, and he did Oscar Remembered and died very, very young. But he coined the term monodrama, and it stuck. So many an actor, it just means a one-person show.
Yep.
What do you like about it? What do you hate about it?
What's been really interesting about it for me is the rehearsal process is not learning how you play off another actor. It's learning how you play off yourself and off your audience.
Right.
And for me, the first time I performed the one-man show in BC, we did it at a little coffee shop. And it was so stressful because it was week of BFA auditions, and the head of UBC BFA came to the coffee shop. The head of UBC Theater came to the coffee shop to see this. And then the playwright in residence of the Arts Club in Vancouver came to see this. And I was just like, oh, okay, it's going to be me on stage talking directly to these people. It was a really amazing experience for me. And what I love about it is that with this piece in particular, it really is connecting with the audience. It's not some story that's happening in front of the audience. The audience is a part of this story for me. The audience is the subject. They are the people that my character, Joshua Morgan, is talking to. And what I love about it is that I can look them in the eyes and just, I can talk to them instead of saying, okay, I'm going to try performing in front of you with this person. It's, I'm now performing with you.
There's no fourth wall.
Exactly.
It's broken.
It's a beautiful moment for me as a human being to connect to these people, but with disconnect of I'm not myself. And I really love that about the one-man show.
Is it a narrative monodrama, or is it a jump, different voices, different characters, jump?
It is Joshua Morgan throughout the entire thing,
okay.
Except when he is describing how he thinks other characters reacted. And even then, it's Joshua Morgan just talking to the audience, just like how I might say, oh, Rachel sounded like this, and then say something Rachel said. It's Joshua Morgan still talking.
Right, got it. Okay. Well, it's the hardest thing to do. Every actor I've ever talked to in my life, from Stephen Amett, who did I Am My Own Wife in Toronto, to the late Dominie Blythe, who did Fanny Kemble in Stratford, really hard stuff, but And up there, the audience is there's no one to play off of. So the audience is who you play off of.
Yeah.
Which they found frustrating, but also very challenging and life-changing. So kudos to you for doing what's called monodrama.
Well, thank you.
I would say it is one of my, I guess because I've seen so many of them over the years, it's one of my favorite forms of theater. It always has been. I guess because the actor is under so much... The actor has to be... There's so much more that the actor... You can't rely on anybody else. You have to rely on yourself and the energy from the audience. So it's probably the hardest thing to do on stage. Rachel, I have one last question here before I play a little song. And the future of the Kaufman Art Studio, and where can people get more information about Festival of the Arts, and if they want to, if there's still time for them to get involved, do you need volunteers, anything like that?
Oh, I mean, we always need volunteers, right? for any information, it's probably best to contact me directly, and they can go to our website.
Okay.
Just kaufmanartstudio.ca.
Okay.
Easy to find. Also, I can't remember your question.
What? The future? What would you...
Future.
Where would you... Yeah, what else? Do you have other plans for this venue? What would you...
I want to have more people come in and utilize the space, tell your friends about it. I'd like to see more music happen. at the studio.
Okay.
It's great for things like coffee houses and more intimate settings, you know, acoustic evenings. There are a few artists I'd love to have as guests to the studio. So I hope that that happens sometime. So that's something that I'm looking forward to, maybe before Christmas. This fundraiser, all of the proceeds go to the students, but I would love to do something else to get some lights for the space or a soundboard for the space, because there's still lots of stuff.
I've
been working my tail off just to get people in there right now, but if we could get some financial assistance or something like that, just to make it more accessible to more groups.
Right.
Because it's not working for everybody right now, just because I don't have everything set. But everything comes in time.
Yep, that's right.
And it's evolving the way the community wants it to evolve, as opposed to the way Rachel wants it to evolve. And that's really important to me.
Was it your grandfather? Is Schlichter's your grandfather's place?
That's my grandfather.
How does he feel about this? Is he?
Well, he's funny. He absolutely loves seeing everybody come in and out. And he's like, well, I don't really understand the arts at all, but it seems to be okay. He comes and sits and watches the comings and goings, and he's very supportive. My daughter Bronte is
awesome. Yeah,
she's just as much a facet of all of this as I am, and we always think of different things to do. And once again, it's like people like Billy who just drop in, and we have like half an hour conversation, and we always feel better after that. It's like, yeah, we're going to do that show. And nothing is impossible as long as you have people who are willing to
put it all together,
you know,
put it
just
up on its
spend
feet.
An hour. Yep, it's amazing. So if anybody wants to do some baking, you know, they can let me know. And we also have a Facebook event page. So we also have a Kaufman Art Studio page on Facebook. It seems to be the best way to
let people know.
That's right.
Very true.
Right.
Billy, I'm going to put you on the spot here for a minute, because you're... What are you taking at university? You majoring in acting, playwriting, directing, what?
Well, interestingly enough, first semester I kind of just took Englishes and Latin language, actually, and then creative writing, and then one drama course. But second semester I was like, not working for me, so I just took Latin and drama courses.
Right.
And this coming year I'm taking a philosophy course, and then I believe three drama courses, and then spending the rest of my time, since I'm not taking a full schedule, I'm going to spend the rest of my time studying independently, because I know what I want to learn right now, and I don't know if university is going to offer me everything I want,
right.
So I'm going to...
Sometimes it's better to learn it on the boards. Who is your favorite playwright and why?
Oh my gosh. I think I'm going to say John Mitten.
Okay.
Because he has this beautiful, beautiful marriage between things that I consider philosophical and deep and beautiful, and then the more sciencey things, which can be just as beautiful, because he's not afraid to throw in a math problem in the middle of a play, which seems like such a foreign idea sometimes, because a lot of theater people I know are like, no math, I don't do math, but it's something that's part of our lives. And John Mitten, if you know John Mitten, he's a professor of mathematics at, I believe it's University of Toronto,
mm-hmm.
And playwright in his spare time, and he just blends those ideas too.
What plays has he written? I mean, I can't think of them off the top of my head, but I should know.
Possible Worlds, which Lost and Found put on a few years ago.
That's right.
And then The Little Years, which Stratford did.
The Little Years was amazing.
Yes.
Amazing. I was just thinking... Math, theater, math. That was a great piece. I saw that a couple years ago in the Studio Theater. Mm. I think that's my favorite venue in Stratford because it's so intimate.
It was a beautiful production. And
It was
looking
lovely.
Through the script after, because I bought the script.
Oh.
The script of The Little Years is good, but I do not think it is anywhere near on par with what I saw there. Because Christopher Abraham, I think, did a wonderful job of taking...
Yeah, he's a great director.
Mitten's work and saying, okay, this is what it needs to really work on stage.
Yeah.
This is what the transitions need to look like.
Right.
We need to have electroshock therapy.
The lighting was great.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it was absolutely gorgeous piece of theater. I always try and see whatever I can at the studio, because they concentrate on Canadian, and specifically new Canadian work, which I just find I'm going to quote Rob Reed, my good pal Robert Reed. It has a shiver factor.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of work has the shiver factor. Well, I'd like to thank you both so much for coming in. This has been great.
Thank you.
I have a wee surprise for you here, Billy. I'm going to play your theme song.
Oh, perfect.
So here's the Pokemon theme on Coral FM. I hope it works. Okay. Well, I wish you guys all the best with the Festival of the Arts. And like I said, I'm going to try and catch part of it if I can. But my special guests have been Rachel Bailing and Billy Chandler here on Coral FM. And I'll be right back. Here is the London Pongadelic Orchestra with No More Heroes by the Stranglers.